Welcome, you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and we are having a bit of a free-form day, and I'm really interested in looking at how we can live our lives in fullness while living in a chaotic and confused world dynamic. And I start with that idea of go with the flow and let stuff go. And we know what stuff stands for. But the idea is that if we hold on to things, whatever they may be, they only become obstacles for ourselves, and they become little seed pods for other kinds of obstructive and destructive thoughts, mind states, and the like. So if something happens, either to you personally, to a family or friend across the other side of the world, and we begin to feel some kind of way about it, and then out of that grows resentment, anger, fear. And one of the best ways to prevent that from occurring within our own interior space is to let go of things and not to hold on to it, these occurrences, as having any particular meaning. Somebody could say something or do something that might make us feel bad about ourselves, and then we will project that that person is attacking us, when in fact that may or may not be the case. They may just be speaking out of their own insecurities or projections. So I think that when we look at our world dynamic and our life dynamic, we can think of the world of psychology, communication, mental states, emotional states, in a way like being hostile animals in a jungle. And we have to be able to live our lives in a way that navigates this environment in which we can be triggered into alienated states, in which we become alienated from ourself. And when we are in that alienated state, being alienated from our true feelings or our true sensibilities, we become very manipulatable. And it really strikes me that this is the state of our current world with the advancement of media, social media and the like, but mainstream media as well. Rather than it being a source of information from which you can gather the data and then from that data make your own decisions and choices and come to your own understanding, the media is designed in such a way that it will manipulate our thinking processes and our feeling processes. And I don't actually see that changing anytime soon. So we as sovereign people have to navigate this environment in such a way that we can maintain and sustain our sanity, our state of balance, and our overall well-being. So it's just a thought. You know, part of it is to go with the flow, because resistance causes the persistence of those problems. So if you resist going to the dentist, the toothache will persist and the tooth will decay and you lose the tooth. So it makes sense to take care of things when they arise. Go with the flow of it. It may not be pleasant, but we kind of ride that wave in whichever fashion it comes to us. And I'm certainly guilty of not doing that. But, you know, this is a process. All of life is a process of learning new tools and learning to live our lives in a fashion that brings us abundance and peace of mind, which in some ways are the same thing. So it's really important to go through our life just letting things go and going with the flow. Understanding the environment you're in. So like in those reality TV shows where they drop you in the middle of a jungle environment and then you have to figure out how to survive. That's kind of what everyday life is in the world now. We have to navigate the information war of coming from one side or the other side in their attempt to define the narratives of the day. And we have to navigate actual things that people do that could cause discord. Like in the small way, it's ganging up on some person online over something. In a big way, it's ganging up on another country in some way, bombing another country. But it's all along the spectrum of human dysfunction, I believe. And so as we're living in this environment where the human dysfunction is at an extreme, we have to become like the samurai or the master Tai Chi artist or the old philosophers who would examine things and look at them. We have to each become our own authority, our own definer of truth, and our own navigator, because all of the outside world, outside of our own innate intelligence, there's a game going on. And we become pawns in that game, in multiple games, or we become stooges, really. I mean, even the internet, when you look at advertising, I was listening to something this morning and it rang a bell, how advertisers used to sell us products. But what the internet does is it turns us, the human beings, are the product, and they sell us to the advertisers, if that makes any sense. So all of this gathering of data on individuals is for the purpose of serving us as a data point to some seller of something else. So we're no longer even considered to be human beings in many of these spaces. We're just data points. We're just sources of income for some other entity. And so it's just a confusing environment. And when you're scanning the social media or the various news, we have to assume that there is an agenda accompanying the information. And we need to be able to find ways to discern all that. But in order to even get to the first step of being able to have that level of discernment is that we can't get caught up in it. So if something is happening, okay, it's really happening. But it doesn't mean we have to jump into the fray of it. We can set ourselves aside for a moment and say, okay, what is the depth of what I'm seeing? What are the agendas attached to what I'm seeing? What is the expectation of how I am being guided to respond? Do I want to do that? When I see other people engaged in ways Can I separate their humanity from that responsiveness, that triggering that is being spun by the media? So it's, I'm not sure if I'm making myself entirely clear, but I think that this is really important for us to consider just as a means of surviving the age in which we're in. So I remember back in 2012, everyone was talking about, you know, the dawn of the new age. But truth be told, if you were to actually speak to the peoples who made up a lot of these calendars that map out the ages, none of them are so definitive that you would cross the borderline over a day or over a year. The transitions, even in those ancient calendars, were over a span of years. And the chaos rises to a peak and then dissipates within that span before a new era can truly begin. So I remember thinking back in 2012 that the world was already going to become enlightened and everything was going to be light and love and beautiful and everyone would magically transform. And that certainly hasn't happened. But it doesn't mean that it isn't occurring. I just have come to understand that the chaos is a part of it. And just using as a metaphor, the whole sort of religious languaging of separating the wheat from the chaff in terms of who will arise out of the chaos and who will descend into the chaos. I think that we really can look at the world we're living in right now as like a bubbling stew. And we have to figure our way, we have to navigate our way through it because we're at peak chaos in terms of many of the ancient calendars. And many civilizations have them. So in order to make it into the next level of self-sovereignty and to the next level of evolutionary process, we have to learn how to navigate these times. And on a huge scale, it may be why it's happening. I don't know, you know, a divine scale. It's like, let's see who can navigate through. Let's see who can navigate through the chaos. And those would be people who would have the wherewithal to move to the next level of being, be that on this earth or some other plane, I don't know. But at any rate, the first step in navigation is to go with the flow and let stuff go, not to get hooked on anything. And because when we get hooked on things, not only do we go down those primrose paths to destruction, but we also can become very much delusional about the reality of what's happening in our environment, in this jungle of this time frame within which we're living. And it's not a physical jungle yet, so much as it is a psychological jungle.
Uram Koran Rejal Felta Kinte Kozikra Kinyesh Burdi Komis Kinyi Lavagya Bunzi Boyon Odishit Let Hava Koran Rejal Felta Kinte Kozikra We'll be right back. banal Sar gulokis arvodo Anus mar megid a mundiko Nahas Mi, mi sanyalo Uchal gosaya
And what's really interesting as I reflect back on how this occurred, in history, it seems to me a lot of the of what we're experiencing now started some 2,000, 3,000 years ago with the whole controversy over belief systems with regard to Christianity, I think, is the beginning of the current, not that there weren't things happening beyond that or before that, but the current age we're living in started around that time. And I was doing some research on ancient religions. And when you go all the way back, pre-Christianity, there was a lot of similarities in what people believed, in terms of making that connection to the what I would describe as the divine realm or divine existence, and how to navigate oneself into that kind of existence, that kind of world. And it would seem that wars begin to break out over certain entities, be they countries, be they warriors, be they leaders, be they generals, they all tried to co-opt a particular religion. And that being because with the religion, you could have an impact on how people think and how people behaved. And so to me, that religion itself is a mechanism of dominance. It's a way of causing humans to negate their own wisdom, their own knowing, in response to this allegedly superior knowledge base. But generally speaking, especially in those ancient times, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, even more, it wasn't enough. So you couldn't control the people by controlling the religion. So warring principles had to be combined with religions to literally conquer people so that you could control whatever group that was, whatever country that was. But religion was always the justification. In those ancient times. And so you'd see these warring countries, warring factions, all trying to get their religion to be the dominant religion, but not because it presented any truth, but because it circumscribed the individual sovereignty to determine for themselves what's true and to choose for themselves what laws and rules and principles they would live their lives based upon. So that's kind of how religion has been used throughout most of our known history as a vehicle for conquering other peoples. And but now, more than not, I think, religion has been largely squashed in the modern era for technology. And there are many people, though they might have some vague belief in divine worlds or divine beings or gods and goddesses, whatever it might be, for the most part, the popular culture is devoid of that. So the popular culture is more about becoming the individual God, the individualism. I am the one that can determine what everyone else should think. And the war on social media and in the media, it's all about dominating thought processes, dominating values, dominating whose agenda will dominate the culture. And so these wars are being fought for our state of mind through the media and through politics as well, and money, business interests. So it might sound all a bit confusing where I'm going, but what I'm looking at is that part of what was lost through that whole religious warring era was our connection and sovereignty in terms of our spiritual being, in terms of our direct connections with divinity and ancient practices that were able to keep people in harmonious understanding. So that was kind of destroyed by religion, and religion kind of fell by the wayside. And now we started entering an era of psychological warfare more intensely. And a lot of what we're seeing around us is generated in order to direct human beings as the fodder. So in one sense, we become a product that our data, our information is simply sold off to corporations who are going to exploit our financial wherewithal. So they're not so much trying to sell products to us, they're selling us to the selling class, the ones who are making money off of what we buy. And then rather than us being able to look at a spectrum of information or a spectrum of products or a spectrum of belief systems, we as products get sold and then we become targeted. And at the same time we're being targeted by a particular belief system or ideology or political thinking, the media system is such that we're deprived of any other perspectives or any other vantage points. So over time we become inculcated and programmed according to whatever the theology of the moment is. It may no longer be a religion, it might be a political party, but it's really the same principle in terms of there being an environment in which our individual capacities are diminished and controlled from the outside. So that being the hostile environment we live in, what I'm saying is that we as individuals would benefit from understanding that and sort of letting it all go. And, you know, it's because the media is telling us something about Ukraine or something about Russia or something about China or something about Republicans or something about Democrats or something about a particular religious group, that it's all of it are narratives. They're not woven from the truth. They're woven from a particular agenda. So we really need to let all that go. On the other hand, we do still have to exist in the world, so we have to go with the flow of what's literally happening in our world that has an impact on our life. So if you notice in your grocery stores that certain things are not going to be available, or prices are going up, you might want to take some steps. You might want to, okay, instead of buying 2 cans of beans, I'll buy 4 cans of beans, put 2 away for later, that kind of thing. So we do need to have realistic responses to things, but allow that realism to be in accordance with actual happenings on the ground. So if I recognize that there are not enough cans of beans on the store shelf, I can buy a double dose of beans, and that doesn't change my emotions, my psychology. It's just realism. If I go on to say, well, the reason that we don't have enough beans on the shelf is because of this or that, then I'm losing ground a little bit. And then if it goes on to say that the reason is because these people over on the other side of the country are believing something different, and because of that, it's causing the beans to disappear. And then the next stage would be for me to have some kind of feeling about those people who are disappearing all the beans. And then it goes on to say, well, if we don't stop them, you know, we're going to starve to death. So we need for everyone to volunteer to join the bean war so that we can go over there and stop those people and kill those people so that we can preserve our cans of beans on the shelves at the grocery store. And that's kind of what these steps and these mechanisms happen. And then they just keep magnifying and magnifying and magnifying. And people who get caught up into these narrative dynamics, it's like losing your soul. It's like losing your mental sovereignty. You just become basically a clone. You become a cyborg. You become just a stand-in as cannon fodder to be the next one to be taken down by the guns. And so the only way to prevent, as I can see this from us experiencing this as a society, as a culture, as a world, is that we have to individually retreat from those narratives and come back to a understanding of whom we are, and to establish our own internal communication with the wise facets of our own being, to be able to pull back enough to have a kind of a bland perspective on things. Not that we're not caring about people, but it's that we're not jumping into what somebody says about something, and we're able to look at it without passion of feeling the need to jump in and do something about it, to join in. And we can really just look at the situation for what it is, and that's the only way to de-escalate the madness that's happening in our world. And as we are de-escalating for ourselves individually, we can begin to recognize those around us who have unplugged from that system, who have disengaged from that system, and are operating without those narratives. And be clear, this whole survivalist mentality is also another narrative to sell you something. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't want to buy something. Maybe you want to buy some seeds. That makes a lot of sense. But you don't want to invest in the narrative that the world is going crazy, we're going to get killed, we're going to get bombed. Because all of these narratives are meant to capture our attention. And when they capture our attention, they capture our energy. When they capture our energy, they capture our life force. When they capture our life force, then they are feeding on that, and we are becoming the walking dead. And that's what we want not to happen. We want to be able to maintain our liveliness and our vitality in spite of the fact that we're living in hostile times. So those are some of my thoughts, if you have any thoughts on the matter. And I see calls coming in.
Thank you for your fantastic program. Your head must be just totally boiling with all of that insight, you know. We all instinctively have that insight. But I always focus on, okay, so how can I make an impact, you know, on my inner self and the external environment. I do a practice of religious teaching. I'm a Buddhist, you know, and I've said that a couple of times. And that particular teaching propagates to do so in order to make an impact. I've always been very concerned about, you know, the problem. I'm a person of color. We know a lot of the challenges of humanity. But many times, because we focus so much on the problem, we don't get a chance to look at the solution. And there is a solution, because we wouldn't be existing this long if there wasn't one. And what I've come to learn is that the solution is you. They say it all the time. You know, the solution is trying to tap the inner power. We are all little parts of the puzzle of the ultimate law of life, you know, the ultimate power of life. But we are taught by being distracted by the problem that we are not, but we are. And I think when I, even when you say it, you know it to be true. You just don't know how to tap it. So many teachings, religious teachings that are about empowerment, I happen to practice one, is about grooming your inner and external self with the causes that you make, even if they're small. I remember Gary Knowles speaking about making a bed to the best of your ability when you get up in order to empower yourself. And the reason why he says that is because it is a cause that that person made. It's not a cause from the outside. It's from the inside. That person made that decision, small that it may be, compared to all that's going on out here in this crazy world. But it's their decision, and it is a positive one. It creates value. There is, that has to do with, like, cause and effect. That's, like, the fundamental law of all life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It took me a very long time to practice a teaching that made me more awake to the truth of all things, you know, because the environment does not propagate that, or the powers that be in this small little world, you know, and that has the power for communications will not and does not propagate that, because that will empower the little portion of the ultimate universe, and all that the power, where the power really stems from, will become aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But by grooming your inner self through your inner wisdom, making small causes, you become literally distracted from the nonsense and start to horn in on the truth. There's a term, a Buddhist term, it's esofuni. Esofuni, it means oneness of self and environment. I just propagate that because that's what I know. But each religious, each culture has that teaching that propagates that, whether they've discovered it or not, because these things are a lot of times hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But each culture has that. That's why when people come together and they look past their culture, their race, their nationality, and their sexual proclivity, they can come together. I gravitate towards your particular program. You speak about heart of mind. And many times in my teachings, we speak about heartfelt dialogue. I've been scrambling to find this little bookmarker when I first started practicing that really slowed me down and calmed me down. And the only thing I could remember is that heartfelt dialogue is the continued struggle to be known and to know. And I think when I listen to your program, I hear that in you.
Mm.
You know, that really heartfelt struggle to know and to be known by others. And that's a cause that we have to start to focus on, you know, to talk and interact and dialogue with people in that way.
Mm.
That is an absolute must. I don't know what teaching each of the listeners will decide to focus on and try to mold their body and the environment, you know, through their inner journey. But it's like it needs to happen. And we really need to start to focus on the answer.
Mm.
You know, a long time ago I said, you know, I would try to talk to BAI and see if we can do something like a 90-10 program, where 90% of the program is devoted to solution and 10% to the problem. Particularly because our family of listeners and producers, we know what time it is. We know the problem. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to focus on the solution.
Yeah, thank you so much. I always appreciate it and enjoy your perspective.
Oh, yeah. My way, I wonder about your life. What is your age? Are you connected? If so, does she treat you right? Now, please excuse me for being so forward, but I couldn't let this chance go by without letting you know why. You know that I see the God in you. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Every time that I see your face, I wonder what lies beneath your smile. What are your dreams?
Okay, this is Jose from Belleville. I believe I went to school to design video games, and I don't touch a video game. I graduated from it, and I think we're having the biggest problem is between artificial intelligence and robots. We have the richest guy in the world right now is Elon Musk, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll agree to it. He wants to, he's building cars that is killing people using artificial intelligence. I mean, he's against artificial intelligence. That's a dichotomy. That doesn't match. And I'm not against technology because I am being a diabetic for 35 years and I use a machine who give me the my number about my diabetes 24 hours a day. But like the Great Debaters movie, which is from real world, anybody who are watching knows, when the black from the South went to Harvard and won the debate. And practically, I put it this way. A hammer is a hammer. If I grab it in my hand, I can build you a house with a lot of love, or I can get violent and break your head. A computer is an instrument. I can use it to benefit people, or I can use it like the rich are using it right now. they know more about us than we know about ourselves. My bank account has been hacked 5 times. Nobody can protect me. So I have to do it on my own. Since I know I cannot even do it on my own, but I know there is such a thing as a Linux that is different than Apple and is different than Windows. And the reason why Linux is not as much hacking is because only 1 million of us are using it. And no hacker is interested in only hacking 1 million. But the hackers want to hack, you know, either Apple or Windows. And actually, you know, remember what they say. All these, Mr. Gay create the problem. He created when he gave the Chinese the code, the Microsoft code. And that's why he screwed up our elections. Because that's why I'm not into communism or capitalism. I'm into humanism. At the end of the day, we all humans. And we are losing. We are already behind. In that matter, Elon Musk is right. Artificial intelligence, the game is over. The privacy do not exist in the world right now. There is no way we can turn back the clock. So what do you think about what I think?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I would like to use Linux. I don't know how to access it, or I have to educate myself. And you're right. There's no turning back the clock, but there's taking the clock forward, I would say.
Let me stop. But look at what's going on. I used to work 33 years. I worked in grammar support. I used to give support in most of the lady that I know in the building. And one day, not long ago, maybe 19, I'm giving her support, and she got McAfee, and suddenly I'm dealing with 3 different McAfee. And I told her...
Three different what?
McAfee, the...
The program, yeah.
It's not just the program, it's like Norton.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it's the antivirus. So before that, I always knew that a computer only can have one software that is correct. Well, you're right, because I don't know if a lot of people are aware, most people should be. Well, you're right when it's inscripted, not even you practically own it, because the only way you're going to read it is if the inscription program allows you to open it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm dealing with this lady, and suddenly I have 3 McAfee, and I say, this is crazy. One, charging $250. And I say to her, do not touch the computer, do me a favor. And it was a Best Buy, like 5 blocks away. I said, let me go to Best Buy right now. They're going to have to face me about this. So I go to Best Buy, and I say, listen, yeah, I need you to give me right now the telephone for the real McAfee. And I told the lady, do not touch the computer, please. You won't believe it. The McAfee was something like 35 in Best Buy. That McAfee, the real one. When I back to her, she already got a call from the hackers, and they charged her bank account $255. And that's when I stopped giving any solution to anybody in computer, because they say, no, the game is over. We don't have control of it.
Okay, thank you for that. We'll talk more. I want to try to get a couple more callers. Thank you. All right, take care now.
I listened to that brother, and I was feeling him so much. I want to ask a question. This is like a thought for the 90% solution, 10% problem. What can we do in order to get offline? What can we do as an individual or collectively to get off the computers and get on some other mode of communication? I'm just throwing that out. Anybody got an answer for that? That would be cool.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's a thought. And with regard to all that our caller was telling us, I really think we have to think about all these things. Part of it is getting into nature and beginning to understand our human technology. One of the practices, and many of the practices that come through some of these ancient cultures deal with understanding our human technology in terms of understanding how to keep our bodies healthy, understanding how to interact with nature in a healthy way, understanding the dynamics and the extreme breadth of our internal and our spiritual realities, understanding that maybe life is much more dimensional than the limited things that we're seeing in our world today. There's so much more for us to consider. So these are all good questions, and we're going to keep bringing it back to the table. Thank you.
The lady that you asked, what she asked, I have a problem with my couple of brains, and, you know, because of the internet. In general, the only solution that I can see a little bit, you know, like we have by a little time, is to get again with the cables and the telephones with cables instead of just the G5. That's why I need to emigrate to Canada. Canada is defending not to use the G5. I mean, not that the government didn't want to use it, but the population is against, is keep using the new technology that is hitting ourselves as a human being. United States is not, and let me see, is United States, I am Dominican, and Dominican and United States are supporting G5.
Yeah, you're right about
so
that.
I want to emigrate to Canada. At least I will have some more years and not to deal with the internet. In a lumbering internet.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. But there may be other reasons not to go to Canada, as just like they took away the bank accounts of all those people, those protesters. So they have other issues. I think we have to think globally. And we're just about out of time. I wanted to remind everyone or let you know that I will be offering two free classes coming on Tuesday. At 7 o'clock, it is self-care practices based on Qigong and traditional Chinese medicine. It's a free introduction. It's on Zoom at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And then at 8:30, I'm offering a program for certification for those people who maybe want to expand their practices and want to teach and do community work in self-healing and teaching people about self-care and self-healing. If you're interested in finding out more, just drop me an email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. We will have to take it up next time. Stay tuned.
If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be that we're all okay. And not to worry, cause worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. I won't be made useless, won't be idle with despair. I'll gather myself around my faith, the light the darkness most fears. Right, 'cause where they-